We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Eurostep Podcast Network and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Ty Windisch, joined as always by my inquisitive co-host, Rohan Kadi. Rohan, how are you?
Doing well. It's been a while since I've been on the pod, since we've been talking about beforehand, so it's good to be back.
Exactly. It's great to have you, and it's great to be joined by our guest who's had one hell of a two-year run, but less than 2 years ago, started as head coach of the Wisconsin Herd, led them to the best record in the G League. The season gets shut down, joins the Bucks staff, or is part of the Bucks staff. A little while passes. We won't talk about the bubble right now. The Bucks win a championship, now in Australia, ready to begin as head coach of the Sydney Kings. Chase Buford, it's been quite a ride. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. Ty, Rohan, thanks for having me on. Excited to talk to you guys. Yeah, it's been a wild last month or so since getting the job and winning a championship and now being here, but it's been a heck of a ride.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I have to ask you something right off the bat. I do not know if you subscribe to this philosophy or not. It's been a contentious point of debate. Should we refer to you as coach?
Oh, yeah, that is a hot debate right now.
Well, I don't know. Chase is fine, but no.
No, I don't know. Jason Garrett came out and addressed reporters, said, please call me coach. So I don't know if you subscribe to that philosophy.
I'm going to go like Dion. It's Coach Buford, actually. I don't know if you guys saw his press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Coach Buford, let's start with the championship run we just mentioned. I mean, you're along for the ride, so to speak. It's a hell of a ride. I have some questions about some specific moments, but just, you know, from the whole run, whether it's, you know, game by game, individual moments, stuff at practice, the celebration, which I'm sure was very memorable, both right afterward and the parade, you know, what sticks out to you immediately as someone who was a part of that championship Bucks team?
I think just what a special group of guys it was to be around. This year for everybody, you know, no fans, then fans, you know, COVID protocols, it was a lot for everyone. I think the resiliency of our group, you really saw, obviously, at the end of the year, it came to fruition, but you saw that in the building throughout. And we, you know, we took an approach this year that we're going to find things out as the year goes on, and we're going to learn about ourselves and learn the best way we can, you know, compete and win. And just the mindset of our group, it never wavered, you know, down in playoffs, whatever it was, COVID, whatever it was, they just stick to the task. We stuck, you know, what was in front of us, control what we can control and go out and compete. And the way the guys did that, especially down the stretch this season, was really, really fun to watch.
I'm glad you said the term resiliency, because that's a term that I was using to describe this team as we were covering it throughout the playoffs, because it just seemed like every time they got hit with something, they were ready to come back right away. Again, they were down 0-2 multiple series, especially in that game, in that series versus Brooklyn in the second round. you get hit with an absolute sledgehammer in game two. And even game three was a rock fight. You mentioned this team is really resilient to the special group. How does that come to fruition? How does, like, you as a part of the coaching staff, how do you sort of navigate that around the team? Is it more like a hands-on approach, a hands-off approach? Like the players, they know what to do. Or do you, is there something you guys need to do in order to, you know, get your team back into the running in this series?
Well, I think it's a combination of a few things. I think first, it speaks to the personalities and the consistency of character that our leadership group had, whether it's Giannis and Chris and Drew just being the same consistent people they are every day, to Bud and his staff, you know, consistent with the message. You know, they don't try to do too much or get crazy with it. We're going to be consistent in what we do and do it at a high level. And I think it all played into it. I mean, again, you know, the leadership, the consistency of work, the program, I think it's a culmination of things. It's a culmination of work too over time. And I think the respect and the trust that that group had in each other through the work and through the consistency of their characters and their personalities, it helped. I mean, you can be crazy or you can be wild and hope that works too. But I think our group was just consistent and that helped with the resiliency.
I want to ask about, you know, Bud in particular. I feel like someone who certainly kind of unfairly maligned before this run by a lot of Bucks fans, too stubborn, too rigid, always dropping, not switching, blah, 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 all the things that, you know, people like us love to say. And, you know, people like you who know the game 100 times more, know a lot more of the reasoning for it and everything else. But obviously the defense did switch this year and everything else. But just I want to ask about Bud in general. You know, what is it like kind of being around him, being on his staff, working with him? And is there anything that you picked up, whether it's, you know, something you can take as a coach or just that you didn't know about him that you may have learned from being around the Bucks on this run?
Hey, you know, you say the defense switched up. It's funny when we get to play in Brooklyn and Phoenix, the series of matters, we kind of fell back into our home base a little
especially
bit.
Especially Brooklyn,
And you think about, you know, you think those are the guys that would tear center field apart more than anyone. And it's what got us over the line. But going back to Bud, I think, one, he's such a smart coach. He understands the game. He understands where efficient shots and plays come from on both sides of the ball and setting up the team to take advantage of that over the long run. And again, it might not be every play, but it's the culmination of percentages over the time. I think he understands that really well. But again, it goes back to his personality. And I think the staff, Darvin, you know, saying everybody, Charles, Ben, on down the line, it's just a consistent group. You know, you come in, it's not too high, not too low. We're going to come in and work every day. And that's just who they're about. And Bud, I give Bud a ton of credit. He was so adaptable, whether, you know, talk about going back, but we did. We switched some versus Atlanta. We did things. And we like I said earlier, we experimented throughout the year to get to that point and to be ready. And I give our group, the players and coaching staff, a bunch of credit for learning and then and being ready to put into effect what we learned throughout the course of the season.
So we've gone through the immediate moment of winning a championship. Let's sort of go backwards to where this all started, where Ty was going through your sort of timeline here. You become the head coach of the Wisconsin Herd, and Ty's very familiar with this. It's just, it's an absolute whirlwind. You guys are just a juggernaut throughout the entire league. It's an insane run for your first time as a head coach for the G League. It's talk me through that moment of getting that job and sort of getting through to this moment. And how did that culminate with all the players? And was there just, what was the magic formula for that team?
Good players. We had a great group of guys. Our staff was fantastic. Dennis Cudz, Jason Allen, John Little were all really, really impactful, as well as, you know, our medical and performance team, all those things. But, you know, getting the job, it was a whirlwind. For a few years, was something I wanted to do and test myself, and getting the opportunity to come work for Coach Bud and the staff that I'd had a relationship previously in Atlanta was just like a dream come true. And, you know, you go through camp and you got a guy like Frank Mason, Jayhawk like myself, who I'm obviously very familiar with and ends up being our MVP, was really cool. But, you know, going into the season, we got our butts kicked the first scrimmage. We gave up 121 points in three quarters. And then we come out the first game of the year, we get trounced again. It definitely didn't feel like we were going to be rolling all year long. But again, kind of credit to the same, our group, the same way the Bucks do. We were consistent. We worked, watched film. We got better. And I think you saw the strides guys made throughout the year. You know, Rajon was so great. He get called up and we didn't skip a beat. You know, we everybody else stepped up, Jalen, Frank, Jamario. It was a fun group to be a part of. And we just, the guys really bought into what we preached. We talked about being competitive, being together, all the same things you hear from Bud, and talked about toughness. I think that's an important quality in the G League, and our guys had it in spades. And it was just a really fun group to be a part of. I was so devastated we didn't get a chance to compete for championship, but I wish all those guys nothing but the best in their careers. They're a great group of guys.
I just want to, something you can't say, I don't think, but the Wisconsin Herd should have had coach of the year and executive of the year for that season. I'm just going to, you don't have to say it. Don't even nod, but you talk about a great, great group of players. I mean, there were four players of the month in the G League in that shortened season. Three of them, Wisconsin Herd, three different players, Frank Mason, Jalen Adams, Rajon Tucker. It's just kind of three different segments of the season. Obviously, Rajon's so great early. Jalen had a moment. Also got a Team USA nod. Frank Mason was tremendous. Certainly a great all-around team. And, of course, your coaching job, getting them the number one with some flux. Of course, every team in the G League experiences that. But it's still just something I maintain. But a question about some of those players that I haven't named. Two of them with the Bucks Summer League team right now. Somehow we're already to Summer League. But Brandon Randolph and Jamario Jones. And I just would love to hear maybe a quick breakdown from you on those guys as players or persons, whichever, just for any Bucks. Well, obviously a lot of Bucks fans listening, but for Bucks fans listening to the pod.
Yeah, I'll start with JJ because he was probably the rock and soul of our team. If you watch us play in the G League, he was such a fun guy to coach, you know, all the skills you could imagine, maybe other than shooting the ball, but what he brings is a person and the spirit and the laughs and just the camaraderie that individual made. I feel he was such a big part of our culture and our environment. It was so fun to get a chance to coach him. And, you know, he's been, I think he had a skin rash is what's kept him out of a few games in Summer League. And he plays this morning and has some highlight plays. He's so fun to watch and play with as a player. Such a competitor. And Dolph, you know, it was an interesting one. I liked him a lot in the draft process. We ended up going with Shannon, who was a great player for our team. And I think maybe Dolph even got picked ahead of us. I'm not sure, but didn't make the team he was on. And we kept, you know, when Rajon got called up, we had an open roster spot and I was like, let's go get that guy. And immediately he came in and added value to our group, started some games. And everyone in the Summer League just talks about how much he's even grown more and more since that time. And you see it, he's had some great games so far in Summer League. He's a physical athlete that I think, you know, probably just starting to scratch the surface of a little bit of what he can do.
Yeah, you're a fan of Jamaria's that behind the back that pass. That was really good. That was really good. League this man, hashtag league this man. That was a solid tweet. But you mentioned that it was just such a great group. It was such a great ride in that team. It must have been absolutely just heart-wrenching and crushing to not be able to compete in the playoffs or even go to the bubble in general. I know it's probably not your favorite thing to talk about, but sort of walk us through that mentality.
Yeah, I would say not going to get the chance to compete with the group we had was infinitely harder than not getting to compete in the bubble. I think the really sad thing for that team was we were, you know, I think Rudy gets sick on a Wednesday night. We were supposed to travel the next day to Erie and we ended up not getting on the plane and I was like, well, let's get the group together. And, you know, code of calls are like, we can't get everybody together. And it was like, I wanted to have a group moment where we could all sit there and hug each other and say goodbye and thank each other for a great year. And to not get that opportunity was the hardest thing. I think no matter what happens in a season, win or lose, you have that moment in the locker room with the guys and you get to, you know, again, share those hugs, share those memories. But that group was robbed of that opportunity. And that's one that'll hurt me for a long time.
So when the Herd doesn't go to the bubble, are you with the Bucks staff throughout? Is there, I know there was some time off where just the whole league was off, you know, for a few months there. But what was that process like as the head coach of a team who unfortunately didn't make the trip down to the G League bubble?
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of the preseason trying to weigh up pros and cons and the unknowns and knowns, what the league was giving us. And as an organization, we came to the point where we didn't know enough to make the the commitment to do it. And so it ended up being a great opportunity for me to learn and get to go kind of back to the NBA a little bit. I'd spent 3-4 years in the G League and now get to go be around NBA guys again, watch a bunch of games. It was great. I missed the hell out of coaching, and I ended up going to the bubble with our guys that we sent. And Mamadi was fantastic. It was fun to be a part of, and Sam and Jordan before they got called up. But the bubble going to there was tough, but I think getting to be around the Bucks was a hell of a consolation and something I enjoyed. And when it happens like this in the end of the day, no complaints at all. It's funny, I thought back about it. You know, a lot of those G League coaches that went to the bubble and with the caps on how many people you can have in your building end up getting left out of the NBA team for majority of the season. And, maybe that would have happened to me. And what ended up happening was a great development opportunity for me personally to get to see those guys go on that run. So,
yeah, it did work out for you personally. Like you mentioned, you get to join the Bucks staff sort of beyond. What was sort of your role on that team? I know you've said like previously that you were just sort of a guy who was around, to put it the most, to like just in the most simple way possible. But what was your sort of like daily routines with the team? How were you interacting? What was your role within the rest of the coaching staff?
Yeah, no, it was great. I think, again, the relationships I had with the staff previously helps a ton. They were really inclusive and positive to embracing me and allowing me to have a voice and a role. I think initially there were some things I worked with Bud trying to understand some of the numbers, but as it kind of grew and I went to the bubble, building the relationship with the young guys and then coming back. And now it's like, oh, well, they don't have as many opportunities to play as we go into late in the season. Putting those guys in play groups every day and working hard, trying to keep them developing and keep them competing and getting better while maybe the on-court opportunities are less. And, you know, again, I talked about like those trenches group, they're a fun group. They like to compete. They got after it. It's hard playing against the same 4 or 5 guys for 2-3 months in non-competitive games with the same ref and whatever every game. So credit to them. They kept growing. It was fun to see and, you know, allowed the coaches to focus on the guys who were going to help us win. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
So a lot of people probably don't know, and this is something that I don't know how common it is throughout the G League. I know I hadn't seen it in the herd building before, But that wasn't that much of an adjustment for you to actually be working with the players. Because, I mean, I would see you in pregame every game running through some drills with some guys, giving some hands-on coaching, even as a head coach. So, you know, how does that kind of factor into what you see as, I guess, the role of a coach? Because I think a lot of people from the outside probably think, you know, calling the right plays and scripting up the right coverages. And I'm sure there's a lot more than that. I mean, relationship building, you know, managing relationships, all of that. And of course the in-game schematic calls too, but how do you look at like that player development aspect as not even just being part of your roles when you're with the Bucks, but also as a head coach, like with the Herd and presumably with Sydney as well?
Yeah. I mean, that's where I cut my teeth as a guy who worked developing players. And, you know, it was Bobby and some of the guys in Chicago when I got my first opportunity, and to see that come for full circle was really special. But no, I mean, it's what I love to do. It's fun to get out there and work with guys. I remember when Brett Brown was the coach in Philly and Joel was young, you'd see him out there pregame working out Joel. And then probably a little bit of a rarity in the NBA, but I think guys feed off of that. You know, the sweat equity is important, and they have more respect and more faith and trust, hopefully, in you when you show you're willing to get in there and do whatever it takes to help them get better. Our whole staff was so great on that. They bought in everything, and they really invested themselves in the players, and the players recognized that and in turn respected and gave everything back for the coaching staff. It was fun group again to be a part of. I know I keep saying it, but it was just, I think everybody in that team would say that was probably the most fun they've had in a basketball season up until obviously it got shut down.
So you mentioned player development is your sort of thing, and obviously you have the reputation for it. How do you see that sort of fitting in with the NBL? I know they're starting to push their Next Star program and sort of being like more of an option for other prospects, people who don't want to go to college in the United States, people who want to go to college in the United States and aren't American. How do you see that sort of fitting in? And is that good for like the NBL as a whole? Because you're getting more prospects. Like obviously the most famous one is LaMelo Ball going from the NBL and now it's Rookie of the Year. Do you see this being like a very, very expansive thing? And how do you see yourself sort of managing the next star slot on your team as well as just your team overall? How do you keep that balance between development and competing?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's something that we'll figure out in the NBL as we go along. You know, LaMelo is a heck of a player. You know, in his year there, that team specifically didn't have as much success. Giddy was terrific. I mean, their team, again, didn't make the playoffs. That's not to say that that's Giddy's fault. They're like, they're young players. They're growing. They were great. And now they've shown, LaMelo has shown he can come into an NBA team and be a part of a winning team right away. And I think probably that high level competitive nature that he was in the year before infinitely helped him be ready for the NBA. And hopefully we'll see that from Giddy and some of these other guys. We have, knock on wood, we'll hopefully be signing next car who can be impactful and help us. And hopefully we can help them and be a mutually beneficial relationship. But it's interesting. I'm eager to see with the new NIL rules and the overtime elite, and it's going to be a new landscape over the next few years with high school kids having a ton of options. And, you know, they'll be able to make the best decision or what they feel is the best decision for themselves. And there'll be, you know, more opportunities than ever before.
Definitely. So it is. It's exciting. I think it's probably good. I think it's good for the players. It's going to be good. It seems like the Ignite team has worked out so far. A lot of those guys got drafted very high. Overtime Elite is fun. So, but I want to talk about, just ask you, really. I mean, we ran through your last 2 years or so, and obviously, as you mentioned, other stops before that in the NBA and the G League. But you know, now from head coach of a G League team on the bench of an NBA team, now leading a team in Australia. I mean, when you started out as a coach or as, I think, a video coordinator first, correct or no?
Video intern, yeah.
Video intern, there it is.
Way yeah. Lower than coordinator.
But, you know, when you started out on this coaching journey, we'll say, did you ever expect, you know, across three leagues and two continents by this point already?
I didn't have many expectations. You just kind of focus on the job in front of you and it takes you to where you want to go or takes you to the next spot. It's an amazing opportunity that I've been given, and I'm really humbled and honored to lead a program that's, you know, had some great players, some great coaches, through the years come in, and it's part of a league that's growing, and basketball in Australia obviously has been growing for a long time, and with the bronze medal will only continue to get bigger. But you know, I always wanted to coach overseas. I thought it would be a really cool learning opportunity. I envisioned it would be Europe probably before, but this worked out. It ended up coming about kind of late, and it was something intrigued me, and you know, here we are. But I've witnessed firsthand, there's, you know, it can take a left turn out of nowhere and you can lose a job or go to the next place, and you just got to keep working and, you know, investing in where you're at, and the rest of the stuff will take care of itself later.
How late are we talking? How did this process sort of come about for you becoming the head coach?
Yeah, so Will Weaver, who's now a coach of the Rockets, was G League Coach of the year before I was coach there. Came to Milwaukee when the Rockets played a week after KPJ dropped 50 on us in Houston. And so I made him buy at the public market. And we sat and I just picked the brain about the experience he had and want to know how it was. And he spoke so highly of it, you know, kind of almost said he wished he could have stayed longer. The opportunity for him being close to home in Houston was just too much to pass up. But what a great team, organization, but more just the experience. I wasn't even thinking Kings at that point, just thinking overseas coaching. And my interest probably sparked some conversations between his old relationships there and kind of started talking throughout the Miami and Brooklyn series. And by the end of the Brooklyn series, it's pretty much locked up. And I mentioned this, somebody else was like, I kind of knew it was coming probably around game six of Brooklyn. And like, we're going into it like, this could be the last game of the season. You don't know. Like, I could be heading to Australia in a week. And sure enough, we win and win game seven. What a special night that was. And it's like, oh shit, now we're able to go to the finals. Looks like it's going to be a little bit longer. And obviously the motions and the ups and downs of the Atlanta series. It was wild the whole time. I mean, and culminating in the wild ending in Phoenix. I mean, COVID protocols, everything. It was hard to keep my head on straight, but again, you got to focus and invest on where you're at and try to pay as much attention to the playoffs and the finals as you can.
Absolutely. I got one quick fastball for you on the way out here. Do you have a go-to Giannis and or Chris story? We'll certainly take either. Big fans of Chris Middleton on this podcast, but just being around them, you know, it's not necessarily a team that I think lets a lot show through, although the all-access videos have been great. But is there any moment with either of those guys or both that kind of sticks out to you?
I think it's hard to say anything new about Giannis and Chris that hasn't already been said. I don't know if there's one moment that speaks. The impressiveness of being around GA day to day, all year long, the consistency of human and the consistency of character, the consistency of work ethic, you don't see it in the NBA. You really don't. I've been around a lot of good players. I've been around a lot of good teams. He's a different breed. He's a really, really, and Chris too. I love Chris. Chris is fun. When he bought into the Bullets, we've been talking quite a bit throughout this. But it's just, they're both of them, but GA especially, it's so impressive. I was fortunate enough to grow up around Tim Duncan and see a little bit someone in that same mold of just focus and consistency. And, you know, Giannis probably gets caught up in like, everyone thinks he's so serious. He's actually really fun too. And, you know, he has some lighthearted moments, but the way he works and the way he holds people accountable through his work ethic is something that's really special.
Yeah, I love that you brought up that comp, because that's one that we've talked about. I know some people are in or around the Bucks org have said too, of like that Spursiness, right? Like wanting to emulate the Spurs. And if every team wants to emulate the Spurs, I mean, what, five titles? Like, it's well, for a long time. And I think still, but I mean, it's of course, RC Buford instrumental there, your father, and Pop, of course, a legendary coach. And I thought of that when you mentioned, you know, like sweat equity, him doing the defensive drills right after they got gold, like Pop still getting down too. But the Spursy thing, it only works if you have the guy to build around, right? Like, that's the key. You need the Duncan, you need the Giannis. So I think the organization, of course, deserves credit. You know, you cannot win a championship alone. You need the right pieces in place on the coaching staff and on the roster around him. But it all starts with Giannis. So it's just awesome to hear that, you know, it's not just people saying stuff because he's the franchise guy. Like, he really is that kind of person and player.
100%. And I throw Drew into that group too. I mean, Drew is a special, special guy. Great personality. Just funny, smart, competitive, obviously, as you see. But, you know, he added something, I think, to this group too. Maybe not that it was missing, but that was really refreshing. And I think his smile, it's, I mean, what a beautiful smile he has, but he shows it off a lot. And I think our group fed off that, you know, his spirit, Bobby's spirit, PJ, when he came in, you know, Giannis is so, he's a little quiet and focused, but Drew too is special. But yeah, you go back to Giannis and Tim, it's like, I think anybody in San Antonio would tell you they wouldn't have any rings without and be where they are without Timmy. And obviously they're different people, but Giannis in that same vein, when you have a superstar that has the character and the work ethic that he does and the humility and unselfishness to go along with it, it makes it really easy to coach everybody else. Cause what can you do when he acts like that? So
it's sort of these things that just make it so special. It's like the culmination of everything. It's like great player, great organization, great coaching, just everything coming together. And that came together for the Milwaukee Bucks. You mentioned just going back to you sort of getting the job with Sidney. You mentioned you had a hard time keeping your head on straight. Like me as a person who's covering this team, I was having a tough time keeping my sanity during that playoff run. I have no idea how you managed to not only be a part of the organization while trying to get a new job and then going through it with the team. I just hats off.
Yeah.
A lot of 2-3 a.m. conference calls with Australia. The pregame naps were important for sure.
Have you started sort of, I'm sure like, you can't get into the full details, but how has this process sort of started with you and Sidney? Are you in contact with any of like the players, sort of getting like your schemes and stuff together? Like how far are you into this process?
Yeah, you know, it's cool. You go to a G League job and you don't have any players yet. Probably you get hired and then you fill out the roster later in a lot of regards. Here we had, you know, a bunch of people under contract and coming back. And when the news broke, I had, you know, almost the entire team reaching out via phone or text, and that was really special to me to see. So I've had the conversations going for a while. I want to get on the floor with the guys first before I give them too much of how we want to play and things like that. But no, it's been a fun process. It's like I said, it's been whirlwind. I mean, we won the championship on Tuesday. I left for Chicago Thursday night to pack up all my stuff after the parade. We headed down Saturday morning. You know, got COVID, quarantined, got engaged, came down here quarantining again. So I feel like I'm just now having a chance where I can work and start to prepare a little bit.
We sold your journey short on the intro. That's even more stuff that I knew about. My goodness. I'm glad that you threw in, you made the parade. I know we were so worried. It's such a first world problem to worry about, but like, do Drew and Chris have to go to Team USA before the parade? Can they make the parade? It was so happy that everyone got to basically, except for, of course, people had to quarantine. I don't know if Saint could make it. I know Thanasis was kind of in his own vehicle. It's an odd situation, but glad that at least sort of everyone could make it for that before everyone had their other responsibilities and jobs and everything else.
Yeah, my fiance, Kelly, and I, we left right after the bus portion to try to beat traffic. We didn't get to the stage. But yeah, no, you bring up Saint. That's the one I feel so hard for, because he's such an integral part of that staff and such a close connect to Bud and everything he does. For him to be in Phoenix at the end was really hard. I know they had a party with him and tried to celebrate a little later, but he was a huge part of this group, and for him not to be there was a sad one for sure.
Yeah, it's tough. Like you mentioned, Saint Andrews getting not being able to be in part of that. Thanasis, as Ty mentioned earlier, it's just tough. I know you've talked previously about like you have no idea who's going to be able to play in these sort of games. That adds to the stress of it. It just, I again, you need to write a book on like stress management, anxiety management, because that it's just what a time. That's all I can say.
You could write a book on the stress and anxiety from game probably 2 or 3 in the finals to game 6. I mean, the false positives, the family positives. And Phoenix went through it too. They had travel party members, family members, and, you know, seemed like a different set of rules depending on who you were for all that stuff. But in terms of contract chasing, both for them and us at certain levels. But I think when Thanasis went down, that 36 hours before game 5 or 6, it was just like, oh, please let GA play. I joked with my dad. I said, I think the NBA took his test every time and went, right in the trash, positive. And they weren't allowing that to happen. Who knows? But yeah, that would have been a disaster, but glad we were able to get through.
Yeah, I think I'm glad everybody, not just outside of the team, but in the team as well, was just like, please God, no, like, come on, like, seriously, after all this. But thankfully, whatever way it turned out, GA was able to play every game after somehow, it actually just
won. What a decent game six he had, too.
Yeah, not too bad. I still can't believe, like, I have to remind myself every so often. It was like, what, literally 1 week after his knee goes the wrong way, he comes back for the game one of the finals. Like, everything about that Bucks run was just the first person who gets to Miron Faders to the great Giannis book. We're going to talk to her on his pod, another pod soon, but just like the inside story of the whole playoffs, just the playoffs could probably be 1,000 pages. My goodness. But yeah, glad it worked out. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, each series was probably its own, you know, chapter novel in and of itself. So
I love that they never led a series after 48 minutes. They win game one against Miami, but obviously it's OT. It's kind of how that run went. It was very, very up and down all the way throughout, but more ups in the first round, more ups overall. And that's what matters. But Rohan, do you have any other questions here? Or have we subjected Chase to enough of our inquisition?
Honestly, I'm in shock about that 48-minute thing. I didn't know that. You just dropped it.
I didn't either. That's a hell of a stat.
I hadn't said on the pod before. Yeah, no, they never led a series after 48 minutes. I would have been great to say after game one, but, you know, Miami couldn't get it done. What a shame.
That must mean that Bud made some good adjustments.
There we go.
Here's the outside of, I think, the game Giannis got hurt. They never lost after game two of a series, I think. There is a lot of evidence to Bud being
five.
Was the one. Yeah, game five Brooklyn is the one and that one was legit. Like, KD was just my God. I mean, that whole series, KD was like my God. But yeah, they were very, very good after game two of every single series. It's a fun run.
Credit to those guys for coming in with a plan, but again, being flexible. It was fun to watch our guys buy in. And again, when things went wrong, that was such a cool thing about the resilience of our group. Never lost faith. You know, it was, hey, what are we going to do? Okay, this is what we're doing, and we're going to go out and compete and do it with our fullest. And yeah, this resiliency of that group was special.
I remember when, like, they were talking to PJ, I think, right after the game at Giannis goes down and you guys lose. And I just remember he was going like, I just thought we're not going out like this. We're not going out like this. And obviously they come back and win the next two, which at the time was like, great, they're at the finals, but if Giannis doesn't play, it's going to be so hard and everything else. And then of course he comes back. And I think back now, like, if you lose the rope there, obviously if you lose the Atlanta series, nothing else happens. Giannis never gets a chance to play. It really does speak to the whole team, even outside of Giannis, and not him not being around, at least on the court. But I love that Bobby Portis closes game six at the five. Like, talk about adjustment. And your guy, Bobby, our guy, Bobby, but talk about adjustments. Everybody, Milwaukee's guy, Bobby.
I think the city of Milwaukee needs to pitch in a few million dollars to up that salary.
We're going to sell out every series of underdog. Every underdog merch is getting sold out by Milwaukee for sure. We got him.
Yeah. You got the key to the city in Little Rock today.
Milwaukee's got to follow it up, man. He's got to get Milwaukee too.
Yeah, no doubt. he's a special person, man. It was really fun on a personal level with the relationship I'd built before, just to see him come in and do well. And obviously, like you said, the Atlanta series play so well at the end, give us a chance, and then tell in the finals. I mean,
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, it's just a story of resiliency. That's the word you keep mentioning, I keep mentioning. This guy, it's just like, just his entire life story. And plus, like, even throughout the playoffs, not playing down the stretch in the Brooklyn series, closing out the finals. You just couldn't – it's just – you could not have this happen to, like, a better group of people and just, like, the stories all culminating together. That's my takeaway from this. I don't know about you, Ty. But just
– yeah.
It's just perfect stories. And I think one of them is going to be continuing in Australia now.
There you go.
We'll see. I've got a bronze medalist staying a few doors down that was on my flight. Hopefully he has less success next year. On a personal level, I'll wish Patty a lot of success, but on a team aspect, hopefully he gets another third place finish or so next year.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it would be great if Patty had a great season and a great series and a tight loss to the Bucks. I'd take that for sure. But that's awesome. But Chase,
a few doors down,
maybe a few floors up. He was on my flight down here. We checked in, rode the bus, and stuck to quarantine together. So
yeah, awesome. He's got the new contract. He might be in the penthouse at the quarantine hotel. I don't know if it works like that.
They save a different reserve room for guys who have 40 plus in a medal game than the not Olympians.
That's also, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't think Patty has to pay for all that much in Australia after that run, but that's terrific. I think, Rohan, are we good? Have we exhausted them? I'm worried if we just keep talking about championship memories, it might be a really long podcast.
Yeah, we might go forever here. So I think we've picked enough of your brain for now. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. It's everyone, make sure you are watching the Sydney Kings. Make sure you're seeing how you can see if he's picked up anything from Coach Bud. See if you can find those sort of similarities in game and his own coaching style. I'll say that. But Coach Buford, is there anything that we should specifically be looking for in your time at Sydney?
Oh, hopefully some championships. But, I think I'm still at a place where I love seeing people move on in their careers. And, you know, the NBL, as great as it is, it's still behind the NBA. And so if we can win some championships and help some guys achieve some dreams in the process, that would be pretty special.
Just following the herd blueprint and playing random, I suppose, all the way throughout, right?
I mean, if you watch the herd, we were pretty random. So yeah. there's a beauty in unpredictability.
Hear, hear.
Absolutely. So watch out for some championships, one at a time, from NBA champion Chase Buford. Thank you again for taking the time. Make sure, like I said, make sure you watch all the Sydney Kings games. The NBA, it's very fun. I've been catching a few games now. That it's very fun. It's a different style. It's interesting. And it's actually very entertaining. So make sure you actually watch those games. And like you said, Chris Middleton in Brisbane with the ownership stakes. So there's going to be a little bit of a divide there between the Bucks fandom. But again, thank you, Coach. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you to everyone listening for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Eurostep Podcast Network and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. If you did enjoy, make sure you leave your 5-star rating. Make sure you're subscribed on your podcast platform of choice. Check out all of the content across the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Stay safe. Go Bucks, go Herd, go Kings. And we will talk to you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.